Hey everyone, how's it going? This is Azrin here, owner of the Calgary Language Nerds, and welcome to today's podcast episode. Today, I'd like to just speak. I'd like to speak, and I'd like to see where this podcast goes. I had this image in my mind yesterday of letting my words out of a cage. It's almost like everyone's walking around the world and the words are locked up in jail, myself included. And yesterday, when I was in the middle of a meditation, I had this message kind of pop into my head, which was, hey, you got to let your words out of a cage. Let them go. Let them flow. Kind of like a freestyle rapper. They don't really know where their words are going to go per se. They're in this state of flow and they're allowing the creative juices to flow through them. And the words come out as they come out. They rhyme, they do this. So it's almost something like that. And I sat in meditation probably for a good 30 to 60 minutes yesterday, just meditating on this one idea of letting words out of jail, letting words out of prison, letting them out of a cage and letting the words be free and trying to figure out what that actually means. Who the heck knows? But one thing that I've been trying to figure out in my world lately, and I think there's a connection with letting words out of the cage, who the heck knows? But one thing I've been trying to figure out lately is how I want to spend my time on a day-by-day basis. So if you follow my blog on azrin.substack, azrin.substack.com, if that's right, I think that's right. If you're following my blog, you guys probably saw a blog post that I wrote yesterday. And essentially, I was saying that I decided that I wanted to spend 9 to 10 hours a day working single-mindedly on one single task. If anyone's ever had experience working for themselves and they're self-employed or having their own business, maybe you can relate to what I'm going to say, where you're wearing so many different hats. You're wearing tons of different hats. And maybe one day you're cleaning up a floor, you're mopping the floor, you're dusting, you're cleaning up whatever storefront you have. The next day you're talking to customers and then you're selling them something. Then you're ringing them up at the cash register. There's so many different things that you're just doing. Now, obviously, I don't work in a store. I don't have a store. I don't have to mop the floor per se. But you know, I have in my business worn different hats. I've been in positions where I'm doing administrative work. I'm answering emails. I am trying to sell. I'm making content. I'm hiring, I'm recruiting, I'm training, I'm teaching. And what I realized after making a list of a whole bunch of different people that I admire and figuring out, oh, look, here's some traits I admire about these people. One thing I noticed about a bunch of people that I admire, there were like 9 people on the list, is that of these 9 people, something that I admire is that they actually focus single-mindedly on a single task for the vast majority of their day. Now, some of these people they work more hours than I would actually like to work, to be quite frank with you. But for me, to take that concept of being single-minded and focusing my working hours, I like to work 9 to 10 hours a day. My working hours, focusing those on one, as close, the best I can on one single task, that is something that really resonates with me. Whereas, you know, historically in my business, really over the past, 13 years of running a business, that's not exactly how I've operated. I focused on many different things throughout the day. And there's a lot of different things pulling at my attention. You know, when I ran a window cleaning business, listen, I did a lot of different types of tasks. I did not focus single-mindedly on one single task throughout the whole day or the whole week. It's not generally how it would work. And I'd like to be able to do something like that. I'd like to be able to, honestly. So I'm in a place right now where I'm trying to figure out, well, what the heck do I spend my nine working hours a day, you know, sometimes 10, I guess, but, you know, 9 at least, what do I spend those working hours on? I said possibly in a podcast, but definitely in a blog post earlier, I have said that I wanted to spend that time on doing marketing and actually trying to grow the business, trying to make it a much, much, much bigger business than what it is now. And, you know, a part of me definitely wants to do that, to be absolutely honest and straightforward with you. A part of me definitely does, but another part of me has doubts. Another part of me definitely has doubt. You know, doubt's like a little monster. Doubt's like a little monster that lives inside your heart, almost like a short, fat demon. Picture something that looks like Gengar in Pokemon, if you know what he looks like. But picture him with like red eyes, black body, like a little demon that's always there nibbling, whispering things in your ear that you're like, ha ha ha, you should be careful around this. And he lives in there. That's a little doubt monster. Let's call him Sam. Sorry if your name is Sam. I'm very sorry. But Sam, the doubt monster, you know, he's in there and he's saying these things, at least to me and probably to a lot of you too. We all have a little Sam inside of us, right? The little demon Sam. And doubt is like that little monster, man. He's in there, chipping away, whispering things to you. And the crazy thing is that we feed Sam, the doubt monster. We feed him sometimes. We feed him instead of starving him out. And to be fair, I mean, Sam doesn't have to be a little devil sitting in you. Like, Sam actually is, we made Sam into a devil. You know, the little doubt monster inside of us, you know, he's not actually inherently a devil, at least the way I see it. I mean, he's probably something that, at least in part, we've turned into a devil. Because doubt is not necessarily a bad thing. If he had no doubt, I mean, I feel like we'd all be way too impulsive. If we had no doubt, like, should I be doing that? Should I not do that? Doubt is probably a very important part of a decision-making process, most likely, at least the way I'm seeing it right now. And so that little doubt creature that's in us, whose name is Sam, I've named him Sam today, you know, yeah, right now he's kind of this demonic Gengar-looking Pokemon devil thing, but that's because we made him into it. We fed him a diet that turned him into that kind of a monster, if that makes any sense. And really, he doesn't have to be a monster. Doubt can absolutely be on our side. Doubt can be there to actually help us, guide us. There's a dialogue that can be happening between doubt and whatever the other opposite of doubt would be, maybe overconfidence, something like that. They can actually have a great conversation and help move the conversation forward and help in that whole decision making process, right? And so that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, the doubt is in there. Like, Azarin, should you be spending time on marketing, trying to grow the business? Is that what you want to spend your 9 or 10 hours a day on? And he's saying that. And I'm hearing you, little Devil Sam, although I don't know why I'm calling you Devil Sam. I've turned you into a devil, so I'm not sure why I'm saying that. But anyway, there you are. Maybe I view you that way and I should stop. But there he is, right? And he's saying these things. And the other part of my brain, other part of me, saying something to the effect of, well, hey, look, listen, like, it's okay to go spend 9 or 10 hours on one thing and then change your mind, right? Like, let's say I'm spending 9, 10 hours a day on marketing the business, for example, trying to grow the business, and that's what I spend the time on. You know, it's okay if you realize 3 days later, shit, like, I really fucked that up, and that's not really where I want to be spending my time. That's a perfectly acceptable thing to do. But listen, you guys can probably relate. Maybe at least I can relate to this as I say it. I mean, like, sometimes, you know, it's scary to be changing your mind. Scary to do so, at least for me, because, like, I have a fear, and maybe you have a fear of, like, this too, who knows, but I have this fear that I spend my time on one thing, take three steps forward, and then change my mind, and then restart from zero, and then take three steps in another direction. So I'm really scared. A part of me is very scared, for sure, to actually go and, you know, fully commit to a decision. You know, I had this imagery in my mind earlier today. I'm still trying to figure out what the heck it means, but I had this imagery of decisions being like a cannonball attached to a chain. There's a word for that. I don't know what it is. You know, prisoners, they wear that chain on their ankle, and there's like a really heavy ball attached to that chain. I think it's a cannonball, right? But imagine that, and then you're being thrown into, imagine having a chain tied to your left ankle, your right wrist, your left wrist, right, all over your body, four different heavy chains with a cannonball attached, and then imagine being thrown into an ocean. Like, that's going to drag you down. And what I was picturing earlier today was something to the effect of each little cannonball actually being a decision. Like, decisions drag us down. But then the other thing that popped into my mind, to be honest with you, like, was those decisions that are dragging you down to the bottom of the ocean, you know, they don't actually have to drag you down. Decisions don't have to drag you down. A decision actually can pull you straight back up out of the water. Imagine the weight of those cannonballs attached to heavy, heavy chains. Imagine those turning into these very powerful helium balloons, almost like those cannonballs, the weight of the cannonball pulling you down. Imagine twice that force, or at least that much force, you know, pulling you upwards, almost like they turned into those birthday helium balloons, but way more powerful, and they pull you up out of the ocean, right? And then you're not drowning anymore. I think a decision, you know, at least a part of me, some part of my brain decides that that's decided that that is a good imagery for decisions. So me deciding to spend 9 or 10 hours a day, for example, on marketing, for instance, and really trying to commit to trying to grow the business. I mean, listen, there's two ways I can view that decision. Way number one is that it pulls me down. It's four heavy cannonballs dragging me down to the bottom of the ocean to die and drown to death. Or it can be two things that actually pull me up out of the water and takes me all the way up into the sky, into space, into somewhere that is absolutely beautiful and breathtaking and just truly, with the real definition of the word, awesome, awe-inspiring. It can really go either way, right? That's what a decision is. It's either something that brings you all the way down to the ocean or takes you up into space where it's just you get a breathtaking view of the entire universe, something like that. So that's where I am right now, man, trying to figure this out. And I appreciate your time for listening to what I have to say. I know it's called the Language Learning Show, and sometimes we talk about stuff that's related to language learning, and sometimes it goes off on tangents like this. But if you enjoy this, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Appreciate your attention, and we'll chat later. Bye-bye. See you.